I know I was supposed to put an episode of the podcast out this past Monday. That was the agreement we, myself, Ben, had with you, the podcast listener. Wasn't able to get it done. I would love to tell you that we tried really hard to figure out the perfect time or date or wedge it in amongst all the other things we have going on, but we didn't. There were a couple There were a couple of text message exchanges trying to figure out a couple possible opportunities to podcast, and it just didn't happen. And you know what? In the past, I probably would have been angry, or Ben would have been more apologetic. He was apologetic. Because typically now my schedule, you know, when we podcast, A, we have to have my home to do it in, but B, I'm always available because I'm the one that's going to edit and produce it and get all the stuff ready and whatnot. So a lot of it is geared around when Ben can fit his schedule to or make his schedule match mine. This time around, after we restarted the podcast in episode 301, we made an agreement that it was going to be fun and not stressful, and we were going to podcast at least, or try to podcast every 2 weeks, but it wasn't going to be a hard, fast rule. So, sorry, couldn't get it done. As time's gone on, though, we try to be as consistent as possible. Sometimes it is just not, we're not capable of doing it. So truth be told, I would love to get back to a situation where we were podcasting consistently every week and putting episodes out every Monday morning. So that's the goal. Or again, if that can't happen, I want to put out some kind of content, whether it be with Ben or someone else or whatever. Every Monday, just because I feel like, you know, you probably want to listen to something. We want to keep you here. We want to keep you wanting to come back. And I can tell you just from my podcasting listening habits, if I go away from a show for a week or two and I start listening to something else, I could just completely forget about the podcast I listened to the 2 weeks prior, even if I had dedicated, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever, to it. I'm just like, hey, if you're not going to be here for me, I'm not going to be here for you. So I get it. I understand. That said, I have given you some extra, you know, over hour long, more than an hour long podcast the last couple. And this one's just over an hour. I think it's like an hour and 3 minutes or something like that. But I promise you, it is a worthwhile episode. It is a good episode. It is a fun episode. I did have some time to prepare and to work up some ideas. So this one, I came in ready to go and firing on all cylinders. And at the end of it, you know, I asked Ben, I was like, or he said, hey, I didn't get around to talking about some of the stuff I had set aside to talk about. And I was like, yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you because I had a lot on my mind and I needed to get it off my mind. And so that's the way it goes. So all kidding aside, this is the best part about the format that we do, which is just like, you know, slice of life, what's on your mind right now, because I have a backlog of stuff in my podcast book that I never got around to talking about, or ideas that I hadn't really fleshed out all the way that I know weren't worth bringing to the table yet. And as time goes on, I revisit those and make notes and then sort of like, you know, create a more rounder picture. And it allows me to go a little further with those things. So Ben will have an extra 2 weeks to flesh out some of the good parts of what he wanted to talk about and to watch Real Genius. And that's also, I put him in the penalty box, if I'm going to be honest. When he came over, the first thing I said was, did you buy headphones? He did. The second thing was, I can't wait to talk about Real Genius. And he's like, yeah, I didn't watch it. That really just annoyed me. So I was like, you know what, dude? I don't know if we're going to have any time for your stories this week. And we didn't. So maybe he could watch Real Genius and then we could talk about Real Genius and then we can get back to normal. We'll see what happens. But without further ado, this is episode 313.
It's Dave and Ben with you again. Let's start anew the Hey My Man podcast. From the region, let's take a spin. Where will it end?
Two weeks in a row, top of the charts, Chris Doppler with the Hey My Man theme song.
It's so good.
I put it out there. Nobody wanted to challenge him.
It's so good.
It will remain the theme song for another week.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay at the top for some time.
I mean, just because somebody submits another one doesn't mean it's going to dethrone it. It's got to be good. I mean, he wrote this thing by himself, off the top of his head, played all the instruments. It's pretty fantastic.
He wrote it? He came up with the harmonies?
Yeah. Yeah.
He did what he sent them to me
and said, hey, do this other harmony part because I know you can't let it go on without you having put your stamp on it. So
he was moved now because Reckless Records is going to pick this up in due time.
So I want to start out with a couple of phone calls just because I don't want to forget about it. And this is... It's been, 2 weeks, and these people want to hear answers to their questions. So do I need to play the intro for the phone calls, or should we just go to the phone calls?
I mean, you can put it in a post if you like.
No, I'm just asking. There's no need for post. I have the Rodecaster.
I don't like the people seeing behind the scenes like this.
Okay, but I was waiting for you to be like, no, just go ahead and play the phone calls. I was going to say, then why did I pay $800 for the Rodecaster? Because now what I realized is I have all the opportunity with all these little pads with different sounds and stuff. And it's like, it really just slows the pace of things down. Is it necessary?
No, do play the song.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Well, I got to find it first.
Okay. Now that slows things down.
All right. I think I found it.
It doesn't matter who you are, if you're at home or at the bar. Call in. 219-525-7490. Call in. 219-525-7490.
Yep, that was it.
This is good.
Yeah, I cropped it. All right, so let's hear what they have to say.
We're stumbling afterwards, but it's fine.
It's not perfect yet. It's a computer. It can make mistakes.
Hey guys, it's Joe Marinero. What do you know? So, wow, did you hear that? I think my girlfriend just fell in the shower. Anyway, I was going to answer Ben about what's the worst job than a furniture salesman. Well, I once sold carpet at Carpetland USA before I was a UPS man. So that's a much lower totem pole. Also, terrible news. I just bought my girlfriend tickets to go see some band called, now I don't remember the name of the band.
Scottsdale. Hey,
what's the name of that band we're going to go see that I got you tickets for?
Yeah, we'll wait. It's no big deal.
Oh, the Gin Blossoms. Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah. What did I get myself into?
Pause.
It's done. So okay. I know you were going to say the same thing. Joe is the ultimate, what's the opposite of a humble bragger? It's a humble gatekeeper. He's like, this band, I've never heard of them. And they were like once a humongous band. Never heard of them. The Gin Bluesum? I'm not really sure.
This like the it's like rolling, I don't know, like rocks. Or come on, dude. I'm not doing it.
I don't think you're any less cool for knowing who the Gin Blossoms are. Now, if you like the Gin Blossoms, maybe that would knock you down a peg or move you up a step. I don't know, but you know who they are, bro. Come on. I used to pull this shit on my wife's friend's husbands all the time. I would tell her that I was going to call them by a different name just as a power move. We know what you're doing, Joe. I hope you enjoy the Gin Blossom show, and it's okay to enjoy the Gin Blossom show. Also, carpet salesman is such a low-rung job, they got rid of it. It's gone. There's not even such a thing anymore.
They're like, just look at it.
Yeah, just order on Amazon. Give us your specs, and we'll just send it on.
Feel this one if you want it, buy it. Because right. If not, a guy would have been like, hey, feel this one, and if you want it, buy it.
Right.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a horrible job. I'm sorry you had to do that, man. But to do another lap on... Dude.
Hit him.
Okay, look, here's why you shouldn't feel bad about yourself, Joe. Because I do think I'm a loser. And I know the Gin Blossoms thoroughly. Like, I know a bunch of their music.
And Joe doesn't think he's a loser. Well, so it makes sense that you know them because you're a loser.
But you're I feel
not
like
following his logic.
No. I think the logic is like, if I know these bands, that makes me not cool.
Less punk.
And I'm saying whether I'm cool or not, I just know these bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like, I know Rihanna too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, because I live in the world.
Yeah.
Because I watch movies and see her in soundtracks or watch her at the whatever. I know you don't watch the shows. I know.
But yeah, since Joe has been in our universe, we know that he's told us a million times that he doesn't watch TV. Yeah. He's never seen any movie after like 1995. He only listens to like deep, deep cut industrial 80s punk, and because he was there, Joe is the ultimate gatekeeper. That's fine. I like all of our listeners.
Yeah, I just think you should know.
I think he was also like a BMXer back in the day, like hung around with like the most professional and best BMXers.
That's cool. That's cool too.
I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is like you either caught them when they were big, because it's not a arguable idea that they were big because they just were. Like,
right.
You know, it's like, oh, nickel something. It's like, dude, we know who they are, right? But like, either you caught them when they were big or you caught them when they were lower, as they are now, right. Or you walk through a grocery store and you heard it playing.
Right.
I'm at that age now to where I walk grocery stores. And I used to be like, what's playing? And I walk through and I go, oh, this slaps, dude. This is a good one. Yeah. You know what? Harvey Woodlawn compared me to Gin Blossom. So I guess, Joe, I'm the ultimate unknowable loser now. Yeah, because we're doing that thing at SIP next month where I'm playing guitar. And he was trying to build... Joseph Pete did an article in the Times about it. And he was trying to describe like my music.
I got a couple adjectives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's start with...
I'll program him into the Roadcaster so I can just play him.
His music sounds like... not heterosexual. but he was saying like it's... Well, this is all right, dude. I'm digging my own hole. Whatever, dude. This is your old Joe, not mine. But he was like, he sounds like power pop from like Sugar, Gin Blossoms, Material Issue. He was talking about like that kind of Harvey thinks I have that sound or whatever. So I got compared
to
him.
He's also insane.
He's a genius. And I also got offended now because I'm like, wait, he's like, who's this lame band? And then Harvey's like, he's almost as good as one of these bands. It's fine though, dude. But hey, you're gonna have a good time because I don't know how many members are left that are doing it.
Joe might be there if there is a Poke Gym
in the proximity. If the music sucks, just catch a Charizard. Right. That's fine.
All right.
But hey, honestly, this is what happens. We talk a little bit of shit, but thanks for calling.
We encourage you to call back.
You gotta do that like when you trash somebody for like 5 minutes and you go, hey, he's a good guy.
Yeah, right. Looks good on you.
Gentlemen, I have had a day to end all days. This is Adam. You may know me from my Instagram handle, PoliceK9Loki. I am calling to let you know that in response to Dave's intro this morning where he talked about doing a podcast about different takes on things like movies, but instead of pigeonholing yourself into like one genre, like just The Sopranos or just Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you just pick like random things like, hey, this week we're going to talk about Lethal Weapon, and next week we're going to talk about maybe a punk rock album or something like that. I think that would be super interesting and probably reach a wider audience than just fans of a particular series or a particular set of movies. I don't know. Outside of that, I enjoy the show, and thank you guys for providing all the entertainment. Some of these days, you really need to laugh, and you guys get that for me. So take care. Talk to you soon. Bye.
A mensch. A true mensch.
That was a great call.
And you know what? A couple people have reached out and said, hey, we like the idea of you doing a podcast like you, like I talked about in the beginning, in the times when you're not available. But then I was like, you know. And they're like, no, seriously. And I was like, well, I don't know what kind of mass appeal it would have. And the feedback I got, which I would give someone else, is as long as you like doing it, who cares? I mean, if you like doing it, the people that enjoy the same things you like will show up.
Well, you should be just
I tried to apply that to this podcast. Didn't happen.
Right.
Much.
Sounds good. Sounds good on paper. But you should be supplementing. Why not? That way, if I'm out for a week, just that's that. Then that's what you get. And if you don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
Just light your, you know, get your pitchforks and light your, what do you call them?
Well, it's even harder.
What's the word I'm looking for where you burn things and hold it?
When you burn things and hold it?
Pitch fire? You know, like when you go to the square and you go like hang them or whatever and you hold that thing?
A protest?
Well, I'm thinking.
Mostly peaceful, though.
Specifically fire, though.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what you're
talking
about. Torches. Oh, a torch. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What did you call it?
I knew it was
a pitch fire.
I knew it was monosyllabic.
He called it a pitch fire.
Well, that's what we call them.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I think they should grab
their
pitch fires. Is
that when you have a pitchfork sticking out of a Sprite can? A pitch fire?
I think, yeah. Okay. I mean,
okay.
Prove me wrong.
So, yeah, I should. I'm just lazy. To be honest, I have all these great ideas, but executing them. And like, you know, when I was playing a little more behind the scenes, when I was playing the bumper for the for any of the bumpers, whether it was the theme song or the one I just did before this, I'm looking at Ben and he's looking straight ahead, not making eye contact with me. We're just waiting for the thing to end. And it's just weird.
That's...
And when you podcast by yourself, you've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it before.
I'll do it again.
And it's you want to at least I have you. To give me some sort of reaction like, yeah, that was good. No, that wasn't good or funny. Laugh. You have zero. You have zero response.
You need a mirror.
No.
You just be like, that guy's having a good time.
Well.
He thought it was
last
funny.
The last time I did the full podcast by myself, I did it with the lights off.
Dude, that was like darkness. Three houses ago. The last time I did it. It was a long time ago. Three houses and two cars and one garage ago.
You're so rich.
No, I mean, I lived in a car.
Downgraded from the first one all the
That's
way down.
That's 100% okay. correct.
All right. And here is another one.
Hey, guys. Great episode. It's Tony. Just two quick questions. How has Ben not seen They Live? And two, is that couch still available?
I advertised my couch on Facebook Marketplace. It was available until I said it's for free. Then people came and got it. So, no, it is not. And Ben, how come you haven't seen They Live? And we already know the answer, but go ahead and tell everybody.
Because I am watching Norm Macdonald clips for the 40th time.
That's now, though. I mean, Norm Macdonald wasn't dead before. I guess he still had clips. But why have you not watched They Live?
Well, because in case we have any new listeners, when I was young, I pretty much just got to watch Disney movies and like Swiss Family Robinson, MASH, The Honeymooners, and Andy Griffith. Those are the things I got.
Goliath.
And David, the religious claymation I got to watch also. And Gumby, because they didn't know there were satanic overtones. So I would watch those, and it was just a big blind spot for me.
Would your parents have let you watch The Naked Gun? Or was that too, like, bawdy?
It's
like,
a little blue.
Yeah.
It's a little blue. Like, the first, like, ball joke they make, you know, like, my dad would be like, all right, I think, I don't know. I think if my mom was watching, he'd be like, okay, guys. If she wasn't around, he'd be like, that's pretty good. That's kind of funny. That's pretty funny.
All right, last one.
This is Adrian, long-time listener. I have a conundrum I'd like you guys to weigh in. So I have what you may consider a general neutral name. The spelling and the name, Adrian, generally leans more male. And throughout my life, many a times when I get emails from people I've never met before, they're always titled Mr. Blank. So... I got another one of these emails today, and It makes me a little extra heated because I've been waiting 3 weeks to hear from these people. And again, I'm referenced as Mr. Blank. So my question is, what is the etiquette for responding to said email when you get misgendered? Now, you have names that are generally male, Ben, Dave, so this may have never happened to you before. But I just want to know, is it a dick move to respond to the email and say, thank you for getting back to me, I'll get on these tasks right away, and just for future reference, I'm actually a miss. Just curious what your thoughts are. Am I overreacting? Obviously, I'm a little irritated, so that may be taken into account. But just curious, as I'm sure you guys have sent emails to people throughout your lives, how do you handle if you don't know if you're talking to a man or a woman? All right, thanks. Bye.
I use gender-neutral things like greetings. I don't even use a person's name in those cases, but I will tell you, email tone is a big deal, I guess, and I have been told many times throughout my life that because people know my normal tone, or they're so used to my normal tone, they find every email I send incendiary, rude, brash, whatever word you want to put in front of it. So now, at work, I actually I put an emoji smiley face after my emails, or you know, like how it'll say like my mood. I don't know what app it was where it would like you could put your mood, and that would tell people like where you're coming from.
Yeah, you'd get mad at me because I'd put the laughing face.
I do.
You were serious.
I do that now. No, you do the crying laugh, which is the most. It's the
most because I'm laughing extra hard.
So I have to go out of my way. So asking me about email etiquette, I don't know if I'm your person because I constantly get misunderstood via email and then have to tell people like, no, that's not what I meant. Like they'll call, people call me back all irritated. And I'm like, they're like, I don't know why you came at me that way. Or like, it didn't require you to be so harsh. And I'm like, I was totally smiling and listening to a song when I typed this email. And people are just so used to me being aggressive that that's why I can't deal with emails or texts anymore. But to answer your original question, I would just be very neutral and not even put the person's name. I'd be like, hello, sir or madam, you know, back to them. Or I guess you could, you're not in any bad spot in clarifying, like, it's ma'am.
Yeah. 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 People do that.
I mean, do you have any,
yeah, I have plenty of thoughts. My first thought is Adrian is either a Hispanic male or a white female.
White female.
Okay. Well, I wasn't saying for the answer. I was telling you the answer.
Okay.
Yeah. I was telling you the answer. And I don't think
Adrian Broner is a black male boxer.
All right. Well, I didn't say white male, did I? No, I think there's a lot of ball players. It's in my experience.
The only Adrians you know are either Hispanic or white females.
No, I'm saying the only ones anyone's ever known.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's fine. Two, you could be super crafty about it and polite and just sign your email, Ms. Whatever. Right?
Yep.
So then they go, they read the bottom, they go, oh, I made a mistake, and they would know. You could be passive aggressive, and whatever your...
That's what I like.
Me too. And whatever your response is, you go, well, being a woman myself, I think this, and you just weave it, you basket weave it into the conversation, mm-hmm. and that way you go, okay, now they got that. So that's not as kind as signing it, because some people are dumb, they don't read the whole thing, and they might not see the misses. But the silver lining to all this is that you could start hunting people to me too. Mm-hmm. Right? They think you're a guy. You can be like, hey man, I sure would like to, I'd like to see the cans on this broad we work with, right?
Well, think about this. If depending on who you're sending an email to, if it's, let's say a mechanic, for instance, they may have more, you know, may cheat a man less than a woman.
Right.
So they may work to your advantage.
Yeah. You could be like, listen, Don't bullshit a bullshitter. We're both men here.
You see my name? It's Adrian. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, I'm Adrian. We're both men here. Give me the price you would give a man, because that's what I am, and I'm not a woman
clearly
at all.
Clearly by my name.
I have the parts. I can name them. I know all of it, right? It and then once they advantage. Start going like, well, you know, now that we're both men, I can tell you that I fondled somebody in the locker room, and I don't want to. And then you go, boom, like, gotcha, bitch.
Or if somebody's rude, you could then send a message to their boss saying, hey, at the beginning of this, just to start out, I was misgendered. So I don't, I don't know what we're gonna do about this.
Yeah,
guy.
Possible. Wait,
who's your? Yeah, exactly. You could do a lot of things with this. I think you're very short-sighted.
Well, I just think that there's a bright side to this.
Yeah.
Lawsuits, me-tooing people.
Right.
You know, becoming Hispanic male.
Pretending to be a man when it benefits you, and being a woman when it benefits you there.
Oh, it's the best of both worlds. Yeah. I mean, it probably happens to Sam, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? You know, all those like my, you know, you're both. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Joe, it's got to be.
Terry.
Sometimes.
Pat.
Ronnie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know. There's downside. I'm not downplaying your plight.
I had a similar incident this week. I'm trying to iron out one of the responsibilities for planning my daughter's bat mitzvah party. The only thing I've been tasked with is getting a DJ. So
that's
I,
it.
Me personally, no, I'll like, you just deal with the DJ.
Wow.
Well, I reached out to a guy and he would seem like the best fit for us, but he keeps calling it a mitzvah. Because I was like, hey, I just wanted to know, has your company done bar and bat mitzvah before, just to get an idea of like, this is, it's not a wedding reception. It's 12-year-old girls. It's not prom. You know what I mean? So I just want to make sure, or I guess what I was trying to elicit is him going, yeah, Saul Guberstein is our DJ. He knows exactly what you'll need. And I'd be like, where do I sign?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's best case scenario, right? So
the guy keeps faking like it so that hire him.
So
have I done a mitzvah?
He responds back to me by saying, we don't always do mitzvahs, but we have done them before. And I'm thinking, well, it's a bat mitzvah. That's what I said before. But you keep four or five different times I say bat mitzvah. He responds with mitzvah.
Not tell the people at home what a mitzvah is.
It's a good deed.
It's a good deed.
I mean, if you're doing a good deed. Does that mean you're doing this for free? You're saying you're
now
doing
that would
a mitzvah.
Be a real mitzvah.
That is a mitzvah.
See, like in the email, you said, I'll do you a mitzvah.
Right.
Which means
I said, could you do
thank you for
a
showing
bat
up.
Mitzvah?
Thanks
and
showing
he just
up
saw that part of it. But whatever.
Right, but legally binding. He said he'd do a mitzvah.
I was getting irritated and I almost said, I'm moving on. Because this guy can't read the email. He's not reading what I'm writing and it's very frustrating to me. Bat mitzvah.
So you got
to
take my advice and be like, signed, guy who's trying to hire you for a bat mitzvah. Right.
He finally came around today. He came around today because I'm trying to iron out the photo booth too, and as an add-on, as one of the add-ons, you know, because you got to have the photo booth. These are 12-year-old girls.
He's like, I have, was it called Hava Nagila, but I don't know if I should play
actually,
it.
Like I told him, I go, in this, right now, there's not, most of these people are going to be non-Jewish people at the reception. We're down to,
what a shame.
The tribe has shrunk.
What a shame.
You know? So I go, I don't know that anyone's gonna dance the Hora or do Hava Nagila or Nagila Hava.
You want me to come and spread my sadness like I did your last one?
Yeah, that was great. So anyway, basically this guy's like, he's like, I'll give your daughter a QR code. She could send it to all her friends. They could build out their own playlist. And I'm like, here's the thing.
That's kind of cool.
I need the clean versions of stuff. I go, these are 12-year-old girls, and I know that, you know, I don't want WAP or any of these. You know, I could just see one of her friends thinking it's funny. And, you know, there's going to be some
limits. Yeah, but let me do you a mitzvah. Save your money.
Mm.
I have a PA. You can have it. Just play Taylor Swift CDs. Now you can even go upgrade and use your phone.
We're over that now. We're at Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, she'll be back. Trust me.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new dude.
Bruno Mars, Olivia Rodrigo. Well, The Weeknd.
You understand Taylor Swift's got an album.
A little salacious for a 12-year-old.
You know? So graphic. You know?
Either way. So yeah. I've been through this email.
Like that song that starts off, I want to F you slow with the lights on. Don't play that one.
I asked her to play the clean version. Clean versions only.
I want to love you with the lights. Appropriate.
So, I have my own email conundrum, so it fell perfectly. Thanks for the phone calls, everybody. Keep them coming. We love to answer questions, relationship questions even more so.
That was nice. Dude,
I've been in a strong relationship for many years. Ben, you've been in several strong relationships.
How's that? What's that?
So.
What did you say?
You know?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I miss it.
So did you watch the movie or not? You're supposed to watch Real Genius.
Oh, man. It's so good, dude.
Everyone
honestly, on the internet says it's great.
I know you didn't watch it. I just wanted to embarrass you publicly because I was waiting on bated breath for this.
I've been busy, man. I haven't got that one done
yet. Love to talk movies. I love to talk 80s movies. Clearly,
if it makes you feel any better,
your energy is not meeting.
I watched 32 episodes of My Kitchen Rules, which is an Australian
reality
show. But
you couldn't find time to watch.
Well, because I didn't want to only see 30. Mm. You know what I mean? No, I haven't had time. I was watching Next Level Chef. Mm. I was watching My Kitchen Rules.
Bar Rescue.
I was watching true crime stuff.
Like what?
I just forgot. You know what I mean? I just forgot. Like American. There's that one where like this chick gets kidnapped, and she's like, "Oh, this guy like forced me to have sex with him, but he wasn't rough with me." Yeah,
you're talking about the guy with the laser gun and
That. I watched stuff like that. That was
weeks ago, bro. What have you done since then?
A lot of stuff.
What are you doing?
What
do you got going on?
You know, I like. Well, sometimes like when my kids are on, I talk to them. I play with them.
Don't get crazy.
I like play Uno and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How much Uno can you play?
Till I win. Mm-mm. No, I just didn't get it done, man. I was working stuff. You know, I've just been busy. I'll get it done. My brother sent me a 12-minute Marco Polo telling me all the ups and downs of the movie Dune and its sequel.
I heard it's really good.
Yeah, I heard it's good too. And heard it's lame, you know, so I don't know.
Which brother?
Mark.
Okay.
Mark did up. Nathan was like, this movie is just like the book. It's dry and it thinks very highly of itself.
Mm.
And so Mark took that as a personal affront and sent us a 12-minute Marco Polo saying, you know, that it was bad.
He didn't agree or he didn't?
Oh, agree? He didn't agree. He thought it was, he said it's this generation's Star Wars. And all the while, I haven't seen it and don't know anything about it. So
check this out.
So I just spent time not watching Dune.
What do you think about, now stick with me because I have to really floss this out, but a home, you know, like so you send your kid away to summer camp and your kid comes back and maybe they've learned how to tie ropes. Maybe they've learned how to kiss a camp counselor on the lips. Who knows, you know, fish.
Being that it's 1978, yes.
All the different things that you could learn at camp, which again, you're going to have to watch Meatballs at some point if you haven't seen it before.
I can't wait.
Oh, but anyway, what about, are people missing the boat for camp with, you know, by not having camps for adults?
Camps for adults?
This is what I'm thinking. Home improvement camp. So you go away, as a man, you go away to camp and you get yourself a mentor. Like a mentor, but it's a man.
Okay. Right?
Because you don't want to.
I'm still on board.
Listen, you're not there for hanky panky. This is straight.
That's not why you came.
This is straight cisgender fixing stuff camp.
Yeah, but you watch a guy swing a hammer enough and things are going
to. You learn how to change oil on a car. You learn how to change oil on a truck. The guy guides you through it. Now you're at an age where you're willing to sit down and pay attention and you want to learn.
There's just a lot of oil changing.
You're learning how to take the screws out of the door that the builder put in.
Check a dude's oil.
Put in longer screws. So for security purposes, because you know the one the construction guys put in are the short screws.
Yeah, and you got to put a little beeswax on them.
You're going to learn how to put on a storm door on your house. You're going to learn why you need a storm door. What's the benefit? So that way, when you open the door, you're not standing there, you know, where someone could reach out and touch you. There's a barrier there. You're going to learn how to put up vertical blinds. You're going to learn how to do small tile work. You're going to learn how to do small carpentry work.
TNG flooring.
You're going to learn how to put a garbage disposal in. You're going to learn how to reroute plumbing.
Basic plumbing?
Yeah, basic plumbing.
How about cut a decent paint line?
Yeah. If you were told, hey, during the day you're going to be working hard, and then afterwards you're going to be playing hard. And by playing hard, I mean, you know, playing video games.
For you to sell this and not make it gay, but I'm not picking up on it.
I'm just saying. You go there, you hang out with dudes, you talk about dude stuff, you laugh,
and then after
hours, you sit around with dudes and you talk about dude stuff and you do dude camaraderie stuff.
Yeah.
And you tell stories and then you guys go to bed. Not communally.
It's not gay.
Get your own hotel room or whatever.
Yeah, no, separate bunks.
What do you think about this idea?
I think it's a wonderful
idea. Your wife would be all about it. Well, my wife.
That's my initial thought is to go, all right, ladies, I want to poll you.
Whoa.
Well, okay. See, I'm trying to make it more hetero. Right. But I want to give up. No? Okay. I want to make a poll. Which? All right. I want to survey the ladies. Mm-hmm. And then I want them to go, would you prefer it if we sent your husband here or not?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
You do like a competency level. Oh, you know what? Put a pin in this. But this can go both ways. But put a pin in this. But you just go, listen, I've seen, you know, I mean, Even the lady I'm dating now, she's probably seen some things around the house and been like, well, somebody would have put a screw in that right. by now. You know what I mean? Yeah. I had a wire shelf fall apart. But I think that they would love that. I would love it because there's things that I've learned along the way. But similar to learning a foreign language, you don't really understand the why. You send me away for a four-week camp. I come back and I go, you know, I use Pythagorean's theorem to make squares everywhere. Mm. I'm building squares out of wood.
Well, that way when you come home and your wife goes, you know, I had an idea. And you go, well, what's your idea? You know what? I want a raised garden. And you go, no problem. No stress, week, no anxiety. We did raise gardens.
That because was week
you
know three, why? Day two.
Your wife was given a QR code and she checked the boxes without your knowledge of those traits or those skills she wanted you to learn.
Yeah.
It's beneficial for
so
both
the
people.
Only downside is you come back gay.
I don't know. Is that a downside?
That's an upside too.
I mean, you get a tool belt while you're there.
Now you just gained a best friend, ladies.
Yeah. I have just missed out on, I keep having to have dudes come to my house to fix stuff. And then when they leave, I go, I could fix that. And then my wife tries to be a cheerleader to me and saying, like, so we got new countertops, right? And my wife went out and ordered, you know, set up this whole thing to get new countertops.
Well, those are stone ones, right?
Yeah.
So those are tricky. But not a general
not
skill.
To put in the countertops.
I think clips.
To remove the old ones.
Oh, yeah.
Which is basically unscrewing corners, right? And then pulling it out, physically pulling it out.
Yeah, that's your wiper blades right there.
Yeah. I was so... It created such an argument because I was like, I don't do this kind of stuff. And you're... Because she's like, it'll save us $600 if you remove... all the countertops, so they don't have to.
That is very unskilled labor.
Yeah, it is. But there are the when I'm I and I also had to take the tile backsplash off.
You're
and,
one step past unskilled.
You know, when I had Chaz, my handyman, put the tile backsplash on, I didn't realize at the time that he used all the glue. So when I removed the tile backsplash, I removed all the wall.
Mm.
So now I'm in a major panic attack because these guys are coming to put a backsplash on. And I'm like, I don't have a wall. There's studs. There's drywall that is just the paper. All the rock, the sheetrock has come off because you're, you know, I'm prying these things off.
Yeah, yeah. You can't paint that.
I didn't realize that. And everyone's telling me it's not Chaz's fault. You're not going to be able to pull, unless you did the single subway tiles. Yeah. When you do that netting where it's like five pieces of tile in one.
No, you're never going to yank a backsplash and it look clean and nice.
I'm a painter, so I could patch it if it was just little damage, but I was tearing off entire chunks of the wall.
Yeah.
And now I'm freaking out. But my wife browbeat me into saying, did you watch a TikTok I sent you? I go, on what? Mm. I'm putting up sheetrock. I'm cutting drywall and mounting it.
See, that's hurtful.
And I go, no, I didn't watch it. Well, it seems pretty easy. I think you can do it. And I'm like, I can't do it because I'm stupid. And this is not my thing.
Yeah, but that's hurtful to be like,
let me show you
a video of another guy doing it.
Well, she was like, hey, it's two easy steps. This guy did it in a 15-minute TikTok. It looks very simple. You should be able to do it.
Yeah, well, so is making lobster bisque. Oh, she does make that.
And then she was pointing, you know, down the street. Hey, Jerry, he redid this. And Tony over here rebuilt his basement. And I go, yeah, but could they write a song? Okay. Did they finish Mario? No, they didn't. Okay. All the things that I do they collect baseball cards?
Yeah.
I was not making a better case for myself, only a worse one.
Yeah. Ask those guys if they make bumpers for news intros.
So I decided I don't have to fire tape this or any mud it. I just have to have the drywall pieces there because they're going to put a backsplash on.
You said ask them how many times they've seen Sopranos.
So I decided to do it myself. My neighbor, Tony, gave me a 4x8 sheet of drywall, and I did my best to piece it in,
okay.
And I got all of it in except for one piece that was sort of like needed a trig jig to get it in there. It was like a lot of cuts and different things, and I measured it out three or four times, and every time I put it up on the wall, I realized that the cutout that I made was on the flip side because I had to flip the drywall. You have to do it in mirrored reverse. Because you're cutting it on the backside and then you're flipping it around. And I said, man, it was really tough because I always see people take a cut or a razor blade, just score the drywall and they crack it. Easy, good to go.
There's a tool for that, yeah.
And I just, it's a razor blade. And I couldn't get it. Every time I did it, it would be like paper. It would be, I'm struggling with the paper. And I'm like, what's going on? After I did the entire job, I was talking to the guys at my work, and they're like, you cut the wrong side of the drywall.
You were cutting the front.
You cut the sheetrock side, you idiot.
You weren't cutting the paper side.
No, because they go, did you get clean 90s?
And I'm like,
not really. It was kind of chunky, and like pieces were falling off, so I thought maybe the drywall was a little bit old, or it sat in his garage a little bit, and they're like, but what was the problem? I said, when I cracked it, there was still like a paper hinge. They go, where was the hinge at? I go, in the back. They go, you're an idiot.
I'm feeling way better about my blades.
You're
right
an
now.
Idiot.
Yeah. Well, but that's what camp would do for you.
Yeah. A mentor in camp. And I can't just go asking for a mentor, but if I went to camp and they provided me with one, they ought to be vetted though, too.
Now, what is your mentor like in your head?
It's sad. He looks like my dad.
I can't talk about my mentor without crying. but you get a mentor.
Or Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay, so I recently got my hair cut at this local salon, and you go on the website, and they're like, pick who you want to cut your hair. And I'm like, well, this is loaded.
Oh, yeah.
This is loaded. What do you, you know what I mean? Like, what do I just, I went away from the barbershop, so I didn't have any dudes, right? I wanted a lady. And I'm like, what? I don't know why one woman charges 55 and one does 30.
What did it show? Does it have like their resume on there?
No, it's just like their picture. And I'm like, this feels frivolous. This feels like, it feels, my words aren't great today, but it feels like, what am I judging them by their looks? That's not what I want.
What's not?
I went with the cheapest. No, it's not. Last thing I want is a good looking dentist, a good looking doctor, a good looking hairstylist, a good looking bank teller.
The hairstylist is different because the hairstyle you get, and no offense, but I mean, you could do that. You could cut that thing with a traffic cone.
First of all, my hair looks great right now.
Okay. But it's not, doesn't take any expertise.
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
And so we just wait till it grows. It will. But that's not my point. My point is, if you're picking your mentor, what criteria? Because they're going to have their picture. Like, they're going to have a little circle with them smiling, their arms crossed.
Mustache, for sure.
They'll be wearing flannel.
I know this is not sound. It's sounding less and less. A mustache.
The one that, you want to have a mustache?
He's got to have a mustache, yeah. I like Sam Elliott. You know, that's a
super manly mentor.
You know, it's funny because here's the thing. In podcast past, I've said, hey, if you want to talk about a handsome man, Tom Selleck, Sam Elliott. My dad also had a swarthy. He was swarthy and had a mustache.
There's spaghetti bowl chest hair. You want that?
You know,
that?
They say you marry someone that looks like your mother.
They do say that. That's true. That old adage. Yeah. So they got their picture there.
Right.
And a little paragraph about them.
Yeah.
What's in that paragraph? For the one that you click on. The one that you're going to make love to. I mean, teach you. The one that's going to teach you.
I have to believe that I need a resume. I want to see where this person's been. I want to know that we're going to be compatible. Because a lot in between when you're working on stuff, like when I was growing up, just like everyone's dad, your dad would be like, I need a wrench. And you would go to the drawer. He wouldn't tell you what specific. And you would just, he would set you up for fail. You would come back with a wrench and he'd be like, that's a pipe wrench. I need a goddamn. You should know. I want someone who's understanding.
Not the one an idiot would grab.
I want someone to tell me, look, you might know the stuff I'm going to teach you, but I'm going to teach you from square one, no ego. I'm going to teach you like you don't know. That way you never have to say or feel stupid.
You don't think you'd seek out that demeaning a little bit?
Like I want to have that. I don't need that anymore.
You say like, I've got that. I'm with the smooth.
I'd like to see, I've said for years, and I don't mean this to be insulting to my dad or anybody else's dad, but everybody had a buddy, my friend Paul, and the way I look at his dad would come in and call him Bud and Champ, and his dad would ask about his day, and I was like, dude, why does this guy get this guy?
Right. So how come he likes
maybe
his Paul, dad?
Maybe Paul's dad could be the mentor. I don't know.
All right. So
he fly fishes.
So in the paragraph, it goes like, no years in prison or a lot?
No prison.
No prison time. Prison. Okay, not a lot of prison because that's going to add to the... Yeah.
The
mistaken assumption people are going to make. You don't want prison time involved, right?
Everyone has to be vetted. There can't be criminals at this camp. I'm not there to do anything but learn and grow and be better.
So if a guy goes like, if you pick me as your mentor, you will know woodworking. We're not going to get crazy. We're not going to get like pocket jigs. That's not necessary, but we'll teach you how to square it.
I'm going to show you what a plumb bob is for.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to go like, listen, I'm not going to waste your time. We're hanging cabinets. We're doing basic plumbing. I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to do anything like that.
I don't know why you have to keep going this way, but I'll tell you, like, I couldn't even take the, I had, if you remember, I had a license plate on my car, and the heads of the mounting screws were ruined, and I just stripped them, and then it took me about 7 hours to get my license plate off. I ended up cutting it off a Dremel tool. I was sawing it. It was.
They sell a tool for that now.
Like, you know, of course they do.
Now. Not yeah, then,
but
maybe,
I was,
you
but
know?
I was talking to a dude at work, and he goes, "You know, the back panel of your car, the inside of your car comes off, and you can access those screws from the backside if you needed to."
If that was the case, they wouldn't sell that
Bro,
tool.
I'm an animal, and when I, you know, it is what it is.
So you want this guy to go like, "We're not, I'm not going to waste your time with fly fishing or anything like that."
No, you can waste my time.
No, I'm not going to waste your time with that. We're going to...
That's what the evenings are for. You do more mentoring stuff.
Right.
Right. I don't know why. What's wrong?
No, the evening times are for more straight fun.
And then when you leave there, this could be the start of a lifelong friendship.
Yeah. No, for sure. That sounds good. That's
maybe you sit good. Around and you watch some ball games, or, you know.
You have a catch?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'm always down for that. You know?
So they teach you how to build canoes during the day and they play catch.
Why is this funny to you?
I'm sorry. This is the funniest thing I've ever heard. It's so great. I think I would attend. Sorry for laughing all over the. I think I would attend the camp, because clearly, compared to both my brothers, I'm not good at building stuff. So I wasn't paying attention. I would attend the camp, and you know,
we're moving on. All right, you've ruined this.
No, you're getting the wrong idea. I'm not saying there's anything gay about it. No.
It's not.
No, he needs to have a mustache. Nothing gay about that.
I don't think so, Tim.
That's right. He's going to be stoic.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like Jack Palance in City Slickers, but he knows how to, like, you know, make sure that studs are 16 inches on center.
Well, that's a basic thing you should teach you, right? And you should teach you what a
peak. But what does that even mean?
You should... Well, it means that every 16
inches. I know what it means now, but I had to learn the hard way.
Well, if there's a harder way, they'll help you teach it. You know what I mean? That's no big deal about that.
And I don't know why you have to ruin this.
No, I'm not. You're getting the wrong idea. It's there's nothing. I think it's very useful and helpful. He'll teach you what a P-trap is. Mm-hmm. He'll teach you how to. So when you put your drywall in, how are your seams?
I mean, they're just butted up. You could look at it. I'll show you.
No, but you tape them.
I don't have to do any of that. I do that too. As a painter, I know how to patch and do that, but I don't have to do that because they just need something for the backsplash to adhere to, because it's a stone backsplash.
So you don't need to do countertop. You don't need to do like fiberglass tape.
My wife was like, I said, "Hey, you spent a lot on the countertops," and she said, "You know, hold my beers." Yeah. And I'm going to get also giant stone back, one-piece backsplashes.
That's what I never understand about getting these houses built. You get this house, and you go, "Look, I got my dream home." And you move in, and you go, "Let's get a new countertop. Let's get a new this and
that." The reason why was our upgrades went into the master bedroom and master bathroom, and we're like, "Eh, you know, the countertops are fine for now. We'll do something later." But she, you know, she's got a wild hair up her ass all the time that, you know, her friend gets something, and she's like, "Well, I need to get these now, too." And so we're going to get them.
Well, and if you got it built the way your dream would be, it'd be so much.
Well, if I got it built the way my dream would be, I would have had a custom home builder, not a cookie cutter neighbor, you know, guy building an entire neighborhood.
If you got it built the way your dream would be, you'd have a moat around it and a river that goes through it.
It would be in the middle of, like, you know, 40 acres where no one could get to me. I'd see a dust cloud as they came up the driveway and I'd be like, "Ma! He's coming.
A storm's a brewing."
Yeah, I have 20 minutes to get ready. I see the car coming up the driveway.
I'd have one room that I'd keep tweaking, and I'd have Joe Marinaro look in it. And each time he shook his head, I'd be like, "All right, let's change it. Put something else in there." I would have a room full of just pillows.
Yeah.
No furniture. It'd just be like, you know how they
like have beanbag chairs?
Yeah, you know, like they have ballrooms, like for kids, like where they jump in the, like, the balls. Mm-hmm. It'd be like that, just for pillows.
Oh.
Instead of just massive pillow fights.
You know what's cool?
Pillow fights?
Smoking cigarettes.
I know. Doesn't it suck that it's bad for you?
You know,
and smells bad.
So I was talking to my nephew who's 12, and I was like, "Hey, what are you doing in school?" And he's like, "We're talking about tobacco. What about it? What the dangers are?" And I was just like, "You're a nerd, bro. Let me just tell you something. Sometimes being cool ain't safe. And I can't think of anything still to this day. Like when I see people smoking in their car with the window rolled up, I'm like, it's the grossest shit ever.
It is.
I don't want to smoke ever again. Not interested in smoking. In theory, though,
I am interested. The coolest accessory
that anybody could have is a cigarette done right. There is nothing cooler than somebody, a cool person who smokes.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
The leather jacket's a pretty good accessory. The bandana, pretty good accessory. But
bracelets.
I mean, but they could go either way.
Cowboy hats.
I think cigarettes. If you look at every 80s movie, and I know it was much more popular to smoke. People didn't know about lung cancer apparently back then. But
no.
I was just laughing because he was like, oh, you know, it's terrible to smoke and tobacco this and tobacco that. And I was just like, bro, I wish there was a locker I could push you into right now. Because I felt the coolest I ever felt when I smoked.
Yeah, well.
I like having that prop.
But I've also felt like the biggest loser ever when I smoked.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because you vape.
No, I don't vape. Oh. I'm just saying it's like I smoked for, you know, on and off for some time, and it's cold out.
I've never seen you smoke a cigarette ever.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I would do it when I would like, you know how like secret alcoholics?
But
like
whenever
they hide it in their tank, I would leave here and do it.
I've never been at a bar with you. I've been at a brew pub, which they don't, you know, it's a restaurant. They don't have smoking, but I've never seen you smoke a cigarette.
Really?
That's right. And I don't know that it would elevate, I guess even you, it would elevate a little bit cooler.
Well,
it's the way you hold it, the way you flick the ash, the way all of it, everything about it is cool. So like, I don't care if it's unhealthy.
Like remember True Detectives came out?
Yeah.
And they're interviewing Matthew McConaughey and he's got his like shitty beard and he's like smoking. It's like, well, that scene's not the same without a cigarette.
No, definitely not.
You need it.
Yeah.
How about the bully who's deciding whether he's going to pummel you? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, 3 o'clock, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That pause is the cool part.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want me to do
just
about that?
All of it. All of it. Everything is cool about it. And I just told this kid, I was like, you, unfortunately, what is being taught in schools? Why are we trying to demonize cigarettes when we could be talking about, you know, the crisis at the border? Let's focus on stuff that really matters. Because honestly, nowadays, if you're smoking cigarettes, you're the coolest kid at school because nobody smokes anymore. You know what I mean? You could be on the forefront of bringing that back.
Well, I think there's a lot
of people. Not when he's 12, but
I think there's a lot of people that would be like, oh, that's so bad for you. Like, you shouldn't do that. But then there's also a lot of people that would be like, I can't believe he's doing that.
Like, do you remember Tex Cobb, the guy, remember the lone biker of the apocalypse from Raising Arizona?
It's been a long time.
The dude, the biker, his name was Leonard Smalls in the movie. And he would... He was a bounty hunter
at the bar.
No. Raising Arizona.
Who's the bar at the beginning of Raising Arizona? Isn't there a dude? Oh, that's Lebowski. Yeah. Excuse me.
Different movie. Pardon anyway, me. This cigarette is such a great accentuator of everything that you do if you use it correctly. That's all I'm saying. And I was very, very distraught that this kid was so just put off by cigarettes. In the painted fingertips of the right lady, a cigarette makes all the difference. It could take a 6 and make them an 8.
Yeah, the Marla Singer in Fight Club.
Yeah. It could also take a 5 and make them a 1.
So when they start coughing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had the same thing. Like, so my daughter's doing DARE and she keeps going like, if you have one cigar, it'll kill you. So like when I hang out, you know, sometimes with friends or whatever, we'll have a cigar. If it's a holiday, we're sitting around doing guy talk, you know what I mean? Talking about making isosceles triangles, talking about angles, talking about P-traps, talking about cutting on the right side of a gypsum board, right. You know what I mean? And she's like, yeah, you had that cigar, like that could be the one that like, that's like the bad one. And I'm going, you know what my example was? I go, look, babe, I get it. Smoking habitually is a bad thing. I go, but... Here's a picture of Michael Jordan winning his 6th NBA championship. He's a superb athlete. Look what's in his mouth right now.
Him and George Burns.
Yeah.
You could also show her George Burns at 100 years old with a cigar in his mouth.
He's fine. It doesn't matter if he looked like a chimp or not.
Now, but, you know.
Yeah. No. But he was.
Right.
Yeah, but I was just like, listen, I try to say, I said, well, baby, I know they're not good. But also... You got to chill out. Not one's going to kill you.
I will take her side in this where I would say that when I did smoke for years, like in my 30s, I would be like, I was trying to quit or trying to get in the headspace and I'd be like, oh, is this the one that's going to give me the cans?
Yeah.
Did you ever think that as a smoker? Yeah. Like, oh, tonight was the night, bro. I burned through, you know, 40 heaters in a matter of 8 hours.
Yeah. I've had one where I'm drinking a lot and I'm smoking like mindlessly. Right. And then I go, well, that's the problem. You overdid it so much that's the one that did it.
Okay. But on top of a Zippo, if you know, some people that smoke, I would use a soft pack sometimes because you could pop that cigarette out a little cooler. You know, I got into that for a little bit, only smoking soft pack. But then if you keep it in your pocket, you're going to crush your cigarettes. You got a smoking
soft pack?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I worked at the gas station.
Why? Because it fits in your jeans better?
You could pop that cigarette out. It looked cool, the way you could eject a cigarette. Oh,
yeah, but they get crushed.
And then, you know, if you're smoking the hard pack, then you have to pick a lucky cigarette. You got to flip it over. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with it. The superstition, right?
You've convinced me. When I get out of here, I'm going to start smoking again. I'm going to start it back up.
It wasn't that hard.
If they didn't smell and weren't expensive and didn't give me cancer, I would smoke right now. If you took those things away, right? And back in the day, nobody cared. You know what I mean?
I do.
So, like, it was fine. But now it's like, oh, we know
well,
facts.
Well, I mean,
and
even
stuff.
In the early
80s. Don't you hate when facts ruin stuff?
Cocaine was fine. Cocaine was looked at as like, this is a like highfalutin party drug.
Well, it'll get your moody wife in a better, you know, mindset.
Even if someone else gives it to her.
Yeah, but it's fine. You know how she's like walking around the house going like, I'm not allowed to work.
Just
and
a
vote.
Big old frumpy bump.
Yeah, she's like, you don't let me do anything. I have to wear a corset. And it's like, well, here, have some of this. And she goes, you know what? I talked about planets for a while, and I went on about the movie Dune, but, like, I feel better. I feel good now, you know? I don't know. That's just me. I saw Bill Burr this week, dude.
Oh, yeah? What
you didn't even know that. I didn't tell you. I slept on that. Okay. Yeah, I went and saw him at the Hard Rock in Gary. Yeah.
Too expensive for my blood.
I don't think they were cheap, but... Yeah. But he was good, man. He was as advertised. Mm-hmm. He's one of the, like, I can cross him off. I'd still like to see him again. But I made the mistake I do every single time I go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, these old fashions are good. You can have, like, three of them. You'll still remember this set. So, like, I'd repeat jokes to you and murder them. But, like, I don't remember.
Did Verzi open for him?
No. Some guy from Minnesota. Or, no, some guy from Wisconsin. I've never heard of him.
Mm. Was he good?
No, but I'll tell you what he did.
No, he wasn't good.
No, he was good. He was good. He was fine. He was pretty funny. He was good. What am I going to do? Tell his bits? You know what I mean?
Asking you if he was good or he wasn't.
No, he was funny, but literally he maybe did 5 minutes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, the opener was, I mean, short. He did a bit about like Gary, Indiana, what he thought it was real quick. And he did a bit about drinking and he did a bit about fire smoke detectors, which was funny.
Dude,
you know?
Every single comedian that I've seen that's come to this area, like when the Star Plaza used to be there, even the kids in the hall.
This place sucks.
When the kids in the hall came out, like Dave Foley and I don't know, one of the other guys came out and they were like wrapped up in high. They were like. They did an announcement. The show tonight is going to have to, you know, unfortunately, we're on delay. They were at they went to do some sightseeing at Michael Jackson's old house, and you know, so they had to be rushed to the hospital after. Blah, blah, and then they come out and they're like wrapped up like mummies in medical tape, and I'm like, oh Jesus, dude.
Well, Bill Burr, I don't think
easy pickings.
I don't think he quite understood Gary, but he did have a funny take on like he's like, you guys are blaming all the people in Gary. He's like, don't blame it on them. He goes, I know. There's going to be Chicago folks that see, oh, the prices are low. We're going to sweep up all this beachfront property. And he goes, and you're going to ruin it too. So, like, for not being from here, I was like, that's pretty spot
on. Did he
on.
Have any Hessville material?
No, he didn't mention Mountain Dew, which was
how
a drag.
Much would you love it if he ripped off, like, a chunk of 10-minute Hessville?
I would have wrote them for him. I would have been like, here's 20 Hessville jokes. Mm-hmm. They all involve scratch-offs and Mountain Dew. But I think they'll kill. You know what I mean?
So you enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, we were 8th row.
My wife's
man.
Still banned after picking him up, so we're not allowed within 25 feet.
I didn't get to like see him, but we were 8 rows back, and it was dude.
You
it was
didn't
just
get
so
to,
great.
Or you didn't wait around to find out if you could. Or
it, it wasn't an option. Like, okay. They weren't like, would you like to talk to him?
Well, ours was we just waited and sat in there, and then there was a line, and he was greeting people. So it wasn't like, hey,
I didn't think of
we
it.
Paid extra, and there was a VIP area. They were like all the comedians were standing by the merch.
Nah, never meet your heroes. I don't think he cared about merch. He was just like,
yeah.
I don't know what he got paid there, but can you imagine just coming into an hour and a half in Gary and you're like, oh, I made 50 grand or.
I would probably more than that. Because I remember Artie Lang, at his top was making, he was making like at least 100, you know, on the weekends. He would fly out of New York after doing Howard on Friday and then do two weekend shows somewhere and he would get like 100 grand after he was on Howard.
That's amazing. Yeah, but no, he was wonderful and it was great. Side note of that, dude, if I was ever like on Tinder or Match or whatever, the what
you had a pretty smooth transition. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that you wouldn't have at least taken a moment to just check it out,
to see like what's it, like, yeah, to try it out.
Yeah.
That's not what my, you're already, not my
you're
way.
Already too committed to be like, hey, is it cool if I, you know, just see what's out there? There's nothing, yeah, you can't, well, do it now.
I mean, what's the goal? You know what I mean?
What do you, like, mean, what's the goal? You know what the goal is?
To meet ladies?
Yeah.
I don't need.
You're talking about Tinder, right?
I can barely handle a lady. You think I want several ladies?
No. I know that doesn't work out. What I'm saying is, after, in between, maybe there was a time that you could have, you know.
You're saying test the market to see what, yeah, my stock value, yeah, is. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know, I guess, what it is. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it'd be somewhere in the middle. Like, it would be, who cares? You know what I mean?
I know somebody who has one, is in a committed relationship, and told me that their longtime girlfriend is cool with them having it. I'm like, are you sure?
Oh, still right now?
Yeah. Just because they're like, well, I really don't use it, but
I don't know her, and, but no, she's not.
But they're, I think that's the, one of those ego things where it's like, I want to see if anyone's going to shoot me a message just to make me feel better about myself. I'm not going to act on it. You know?
No, I have zero interest in that and never did because, like, yeah, I'll get
but
some.
But you never got to date in the technology era.
That doesn't sound fun to me. That doesn't sound
but
like
you
a thing.
Don't know. You don't know until you've been there, just like having a mentor. You have no idea.
Well, I think they'd be similar.
Wouldn't your mentor tell you?
I think in the encounters, they would end the same or close.
Wouldn't your mentor tell you, hey, look around a little bit. Don't be hasty.
Yeah, I think that's probably the advice that the general populace would give me. However, I'm not interested in going in these like dates where you go on 103.5 and that Fred in the morning is like, hey, what happens? 28 to the top of the hour, 34 after the top of the hour. My math's bad. That's okay. We're moving on. And then they would be like, what happened? And then you go, I don't know. I went to a date and 10 minutes in, I was just dreadfully bored.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. After seeing one of my favorite movies, Sea of Love, which I had you see, well, they were trying to suss out this female murderer. Do you remember watching this movie?
Which
John
one?
Goodman and Al Pacino, Sea of Love.
Oh, I remember it being good.
Yeah. And he did a bunch of speed dating, Al Pacino. And one of the people ended up being someone he thought was the murderer.
I thought, wow,
speed dating would kind of be interesting just to see what all the hullabaloo is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like everybody should like have the opportunity or whatever. It's like that's not a crazy idea to be like, I guess, I don't know.
But then
like what you're saying,
I just saw that true crime documentary where the guy went on Tinder and then he met like this psychotic chick who burned down and murdered another chick he was seeing that he met on Tinder. So
I watched that one too.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was crazy.
And ended up being the person that was harassing. Yeah. I called it. Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
That was very good. No. I just, for one, I had no interest in that ever. And, and for two, I found somebody within the matter of time that it just didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And third, I've told you before, like if it's not interesting or doesn't make me laugh, I have I don't want anything to do with it. And I don't have a lot of confidence that if I, you know, took a lady to Long John Silver's, I'd be, you know, I don't know. It's just not, I don't have a need for it anyways. It's just not a, yeah, no, I'm good. And, but what, yeah, dude, I want to learn new people, learn what you like.
Yeah. I don't know. Isn't it part of the fun?
No. I've been
out of the game for so long.
Yeah.
I don't care what my wife finds as fun.
I was out of the game and then I'm right back in the game. I didn't. Yeah.
I already know that the things that she finds fun are things I do not find fun. I already know that.
I think, you know, honestly, I think I got really lucky in finding someone who checked a bunch of boxes right away. And I was like, good, I don't have to go through the rigmarole. Mm. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, I don't know. I feel like me in my stage in life, I think 20 minutes in, I might just go like, yeah, so I'm just going to get out of here. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go and the appetizers are coming. I go, I know. I don't want to eat them with you.
But how interesting would it be to see me in that situation? I just feel like...
Now that would be a reality show. I'd be like, sit him in the cold booth.
Exactly.
That would be wonderful.
All right.
Nah, just never. Yeah,
You've had two weeks plus to write jokes. They better be good.
Oh, I wrote them a lot, you know. So took a lot of time.
You wrote a new intro bumper. But I was not able to get it on the system because, in my opinion, it wasn't. It needs to be what do you call it? Mixed? Produced a little. Yeah. Yeah. Little, the vocals are a little hot.
Well, so see, it was so much guitar. And so I tried to put them. And also I did an Alkaline Trio song and it's a great song. And I thought it worked, but it is, you were right. It was wordy. It was like, you'd have to listen to it five times and go, what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
Like an Eminem song. You'd have to go back, but you know, what are you going to do?
I do have. So now I forget what we settled on here. Do we do the joke bumper or the news bumper?
I mean, they're both, you know, that's what my parody song was talking about, them being both, but they're both. That's good.
Dave reads one joke and then reads another, then they put the jokes down, down, down. Dave reads one joke and then reads another, usually Ben laughs while Dave frowns.
See, if I was smart, I would have just potted your microphone and my microphone down because I have the ability to do that, but I didn't.
Listen, dude, unless we get five voicemails a week, I'm opening beers while you guys got to listen.
All right, let's go.
Now,
let's go.
These are your jokes. Let me make sure that.
Now you.
All right.
You know. You know.
I just don't want you to have any real dirty ones, you know?
In Oscar news, Lily Gladstone was nominated for the Best Actress for her role in Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. This made her the first female Native American to be nominated in Oscar history and the second overall after Kevin Costner in Dances with Wolves.
Okay, that ain't bad,
no,
right?
No, no. I got through it, Nate.
On Gordon Ramsay's newest hit cooking show, Next Level Chef, he pits 24 chefs against each other and eats their cooking. Just another case of a millionaire still getting world-class free meals while Joe the plumber struggles to feed his family fast food.
Very political. I couldn't find the silicone copper-colored cast iron skillet-handled holder that matched my kitchen decor, but I did find one that vibrates and fits up my ass.
Fits where?
You heard me.
Okay, I wasn't. Listen, you gotta. I typed these out, so there's no excuse.
Dear.
But I'm glad you found that handle. Listen, Dave. I've heard of shower beers, but since I'm putting weight on lately, I've upgraded to eating hot wings with ranch in the shower as well.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't write all these. You
Snowfalls
know what I mean?
In California hit record levels last week with an estimated 10 to 12 feet, even shutting down Tahoe ski resorts. Gavin Newsom was quoted as saying, if this keeps up, we'll have to arm every bum with a shovel and clear it by dinner time.
This one's hot in the news. 82-year-old Senator Mitch McConnell has decided to step down this week. McConnell stated that he wanted to spend more time with his chins since they stepped down from his face years ago.
Boeing whistleblower John Barnett was found dead from a gunshot wound in his car this week, just one day after testifying about the string of safety issues on Boeing Jet Airlines. Today, a whistleblower from Toyota is expected to testify over the safety concerns of getting shot in the driver's seat while armed henchmen entered the vehicle.
You gotta be careful about that because it's bad for your health. If we really wanted to promote safe sex amongst the youth of America, might I suggest we start with a rubber ducky as the new spokesperson? Not even write that one either.
Hotels are fining guests up to $250 for smoking in their rooms. The good news is they fine you $0 for covering the entire place with.
All right, that was dirty. When you said it, it sounded dirtier than when I wrote it. And in more Oscar news, Divine Randolph won the award for Best Supporting Actress for her role in The Color Purple. Divine ensured that there wasn't a dry eye in the house during her heartfelt speech. The actress, adorned in fake eyelashes, dyed blonde hair, and huge fake feathery sleeves, brought the room to tears, stating, all these years, I just wanted to be different, and now I realize I just have to be myself.
The U.S. economy is still reeling with gas and food prices on the rise in February. On the bright side, Hammond residents are cheering this week as local black market has vowed to freeze prices on Mountain Dew, stating, these dirty bums need their Mountain Dew, and no amount of meddling government bureaucracy will keep us from getting it to their dirty, dirty mouths.
That's
I almost made it unscathed.
That's altruistic of them. Really, that's kind of them.
All right, well, that is all we got for episode 213. We'll see you next time. Later.
This concludes our podcast.